Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Phoenix, Arizona, it's time for Phoenix Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Welcome to Phoenix Business Radio, broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studio inside Max 6 Workspace and the Conscious Capitalism Arizona headquarters in Tempe, Arizona, where we help build businesses and connect you with the right people. I'm Karen Nowicki, and I am very excited to welcome back to the studio Fabric co-founder Angela Johnson. Hello, hello.
Hi, thank you for having me again.
I'm thrilled. We had you, I think it's been just maybe not quite a month or 2 months when we had the Living Brave Women in Business.
Yeah, correct.
I believe that you are one of the featured women in that book, which is very exciting.
Yes, and we're actually going to have the book launch next weekend, and I'm going to be hosting a fashion show featuring 12 local designers at the book launch.
I remember that, and as you spoke, we talked about the need to come back and bring your partners in crime with you so we can have a full episode dedicated to Fabric and all the great businesses and the great work that you're doing on behalf of fashion here in Arizona. So with Angela, because I said you really need to bring some folks with you, we have Tom Brador Kazagian. I almost had it.
You got it. You did it.
Darn close. Welcome, Tom. Tom is the chairman of the board for Arizona Apparel Foundation. Great to have you. And then also Sherry Berry, another co-founder for Fabric as well. Welcome, Sherry.
Thank you. Thrilled to be here.
I'm excited just to have a conversation around all that's happening in fashion overall, and then more specifically, everything that you are doing on behalf of bringing fashion to Arizona and giving folks a platform to get their career started. So who can kick that off for us by simply talking about Fabric and really, who are you and what are you doing? Angela's raising her hand. Me, pick me. Go ahead.
Well, first of all, thank you again for having us. I'm so excited to be able to share all this information. And for you giving a platform for people like this to be able to do this is amazing. So thank you. So I'd love to explain what Fabric is. It's a little complex, so bear with me. But Fabric is the Fashion and Business Resource Innovation Center. A little clever acronym there that the city of Tempe helped us come up with. We have a partnership between a nonprofit called Arizona Apparel Foundation and two for-profits called Arizona Fashion Source and Label Hoard. And combined, we offer all kinds of services to emerging designers and brands so that they can start their business in Arizona and not have to leave to look for the resources they need in order to do that. So this building actually offers an entire industry under one roof. You really won't find it anywhere else like this in the whole country. We offer so much stuff. It's incredible. There are offices for designers. There's no minimum manufacturing. There are events because we have a runway. There's a photo studio. There's an actual fabric store. There's a free resource library to help designers find their fabrics and trims at wholesale prices. There are classes. There's consulting. There's design help. I mean, the list goes on. It's a pretty cool place with a lot of great things that have been helping designers in Arizona for about the past 2 years.
And I knew it was impressive for Arizona, but you just mentioned that this is really one of a kind in the country itself.
Yes, it's actually a need that I would love to discuss because the whole reason that we started this is basically to solve a problem. As an emerging fashion designer, I was a designer in Los Angeles in the 1990s, and it was already an obstacle to start a small brand because basically you have to meet minimums of thousands of pieces when you first start manufacturing at big factories because they don't really make any money until they make thousands of the same thing. So I had a real hard time just trying to find out how to make 50 of something or 200 of something. And I navigated it because I was living in LA and I was a production manager for another clothing line. And so I knew who to contact and, you know, how to get my stuff in there and do smaller quantities. But when I moved to Arizona, I had to close down a profitable business that was selling internationally. We were sold in Japan and England, all over the United States. And it was because I couldn't manufacture from Arizona. There was no way for me to go back and forth to LA. At that point, it still wasn't financially sound to be able to do that. So that was the year 2000. And I realized this was going to be a problem for a lot more people because now you could sell direct to consumer on a website. And that meant designers could live anywhere. If you could sell your product from your home or anywhere in the whole country, what about manufacturing it? Where was that going to happen? So when I moved back here, because I'm from here, I thought, this can't be just my problem. I'd love to collaborate with other designers and pull the community together and find a way that we can all solve this problem. And I started Label Hoard, which is the for-profit business inside Fabric that actually helps the designers get started. So there's a free directory to pull everybody together. There's classes, there's design help. But that directory's been around for about 18 years now, pulling the community together. And that was my first attempt to kind of solve the problem, but it felt like it was almost causing more of a problem because it started a buzz about the fashion industry in Arizona, and you started to see fashion weeks and fashion schools and all kinds of things, but there still was no manufacturing help for in small batch, you know, manufacturing for emerging brands. And so I knew there had to be a bigger solution. And that's why Fabric exists today, to solve that problem. And we've actually looked around and we haven't found anything quite like this. There are fashion incubators and there are small batch manufacturers, but there's nobody that has all of these services under one roof, not even in the fashion centers.
Not the scale.
Yeah.
Now, Sherry, how did you get involved? What is your background?
Boy, that's quite a story.
We've got an hour, so you just take your time, ease right in.
Well, I'll try to give the condensed version of it. When I went into college or graduated from college, both, I really wanted to be a fashion designer. It was a lifelong passion of mine. And of course, at that time, it's going to age me a little bit, but it was kind of like the recession of 2008. There wasn't a lot of jobs available. And being a fashion designer was a dreamer job. Would have been like being discovered as an actress, because you would have needed $1 million ad budget, because at that time, the internet really wasn't prolific. You would have had to have done it through a television campaign and print and everything else. So I ended up doing what most people who want to be in fashion do, is I ended up in retail. And I did that for 17 years and found myself a little burnt out. I was running 350 stores on the West Coast as a divisional VP and really wanting to go into fashion design. I had a great idea for a line. I knew it was scalable, and I decided to leave my retail career. I went back to the W.P. Carey School of Business at ASU, and I got my MBA, and I really spent 2 years working on everything that I thought I would need to know to scale the business, as far as investment structures and writing a business plan. And I also spent 2 years learning everything I could about apparel design and manufacturing, because I really didn't know anything about it. That's when I met Angela, and she was helping me through the process a little bit. I also sought out some resources in California through the Fashion Business Incorporated, which is part of California Mart and part of the fashion industry. And I won an international business competition. I launched the line. I had to go to California for manufacturing. And it's really just like Angela said, it's so hard to do. And that's really where the train ran off the tracks for me. The manufacturer messed up the order. It was kind of unexplainable how it happened, but it was a pretty big loss. And I kind of decided, well, I can't do this until I fix the supply chain issue. And the supply chain issue was really having all of the people necessary to handle the design, development, and manufacturing process under one roof, or at least connected in a way where nothing would fall through the cracks as it moved from step to step to step. I kind of sat on that idea, told a bunch of my friends, and about 3 years ago, all of a sudden, Angela posted a GoFundMe campaign, and she had an opportunity to buy a bunch of equipment from a brand that had decided to vertically integrate in Scottsdale and ended up not being able to make it. And so I immediately called her and said, I want to fund your GoFundMe, and you are the perfect business partner. And actually, that's been one of the amazing things that's happened, is Angela and I's business partnership. We had the Tempe leadership through our building, and after we both got done describing the story, which we've done hundreds of times and still love telling, he goes, wow, you two are the perfect combination of creativity and capacity with like hearts and minds. And I really feel that that's what's made this work. So when Angela and I combined, we literally bought the equipment on a whim. I describe it as kind of taking a bungee jump off of a bridge, because wrote out a big check. And we had to get the equipment out of the space in like 2 weeks. And we didn't have a plan. So I had done a lot of commercial real estate work in my retail career, and we found this space in Tempe that we thought would work because we had a pretty big checklist of what we needed. The problem was, is it was a little expensive. So I told Angela, I'm like, well, why don't we approach the city of Tempe with this idea? Because Angela had already approached some of the other cities. I remember sending Donna Kennedy, who's the economic development director, email on Friday, and she immediately responded and said, can you meet on Monday? And we were so excited to meet with her.
Yeah, when does that happen?
All right. And so Angela had already put together a business plan on why these resources were needed. And I spent the weekend turning that into an economic development reason why a city should support a fashion industry, which really is not a hard case to make. It's just hard to do in a weekend.
But you did it.
Oh,
we did.
You should see some of the things this woman pulls off. Obviously, I'm the creative side of this that she was talking about. She's
well,
the
I love so
brain.
I love the term that you were given as you had Tempe coming on board with you. And so let's speak to that. Why does it make sense from an economic development standpoint? What has Tempe stood to gain in all of this? And really quick, it's only been what? How many years?
It's been 2 years. We're going to have our anniversary party next month.
That blows my mind. I know you said that the last time you were on. Incredible.
Thank you.
Incredible. So back up. I wanted to celebrate the 2 years. I was holding up 3 and 4 fingers and Tom's shaking his head like two. So from a city perspective, let's speak specifically about our dear beloved Tempe who said, yes, let's do this. What makes sense from a city perspective?
Well, first of all, I mean, thank you to the city of Tempe. They are so visionary. And it just so happened that when we came in to meet with Donna, they had a building that was vacant that they were looking for an incubator to occupy the space. So this is where luck comes in. Probably the luckiest thing that's ever happened to me in my whole life.
Me too.
And so we got done presenting the business plan, and Donna said, I know that building. Let's take a walk. And literally, we walked out of City Hall and across the way to what was the old Tempe Performing Arts Center.
Yes.
They quit using it as an art center when they built the new Tempe Center for the Arts in 2007. And so the building at the time that we looked at it was vacant, and they had decided to partner with ASU, and they wanted it to be an incubation space. And they were looking for someone to occupy the building who would be able to start a lot of businesses or help grow. And I also think that because it was a former arts building, they were really looking for an arts-based sort of entity. And I think when we presented the idea, it was the right time with the right place. And because there's 21 businesses based in Fabric right now.
Wow.
And we have helped in the last 2 years over 300 fashion brands launch. So from an economic development standpoint, that's really an unheard of number of startups to support. And it's because it's such a need. And I think that was the surprise that hit both Angela and I is, wow, it wasn't only something that we knew we needed and Angela saw her students need. It's part of a developing trend that is on top of the transformation of the fashion industry right now. And so supporting what we call a responsible, sustainable 21st century fashion business, which we can build in Arizona because we're not like some of the traditional fashion markets that turning them would be like turning a ship. We can build it to accommodate the smaller emerging designers that are selling direct to consumer online, which is a lot of where the fashion industry is going. In fact, fast fashion is not quite fast enough right now because these small designers, if they can find resources to get stuff made here in the United States, can get to market even quicker than some of the fast fashion brands like H&M.
So, Tom, can you describe what fast fashion is? How would you define that?
Yeah, so fast fashion typically is looked at as sort of what you would describe as from runway to closet. The idea is that instead of waiting in a traditional fashion design cycle for the sort of the season, right? We show the collection and then it takes 6 to 9 months for that collection to show up in retail. Fast fashion brands like Zara and H&M, and in some cases Forever 21 and others, are able to take that look that's featured in a seasonal collection, and within 12 weeks, usually is the average, they're able to get it into market. But we have a different point of view, even here with Fabric and the Arizona Apparel Foundation and sort of the collaborative that's been brought together. And that is that, again, even with these big fast fashion brands, there are sort of minimum quantities of that are required to get those products into market. So you're talking about ordering thousands per SKU and crossing your fingers that you picked the right
thing. That's what I was thinking.
Right? And hoping you don't wind up with a whole lot of what we describe as dead inventory or latent inventory on your books that you have to find a way to liquidate. I'm talking all the business stuff now, but this is also what makes an economic development case for what we're doing. It is that we're wringing waste out of the system, and we're infusing efficiency into an antiquated, inefficient industry, which is how do I design a collection and get that collection to market in the most cost-effective way? I can give you an example. I left the company late last year, but a lot of people don't know, headquartered in Phoenix, Arizona, is a company called Yandy.com. It's one of the largest e-commerce companies in the country for women's swimwear, everyday intimates, lingerie. And once a year, it's known as the producer of adult Halloween costumes for men and women. And one of the challenges we had was dealing with a very disparate supply chain all around the world. So we had suppliers in China, suppliers in Colombia, suppliers in Sri Lanka, suppliers in Madagascar, suppliers everywhere. And if we ran low on stock, and our customer is a customer who demands it, if she sees it online, she's expecting that it's going to be at her house.
She doesn't want it. Yeah, within
48
days.
Hours. She's not waiting. And the challenges that we had were that we couldn't test small batch manufacturing. I couldn't go and say, I only want 50 units of that thing, and let's see what the customer reaches for before we invest in 5,000 units of that thing or 1,000 units of that thing. And so what we endeavor to do by hopefully positioning Fabric and the Arizona Apparel Foundation together as both the destination and as sort of the nonprofit that helps find its way through the process, is to position Tempe, Arizona, and then more broadly, the state of Arizona, as a center of excellence in small batch advanced manufacturing that allows fast fashion to cut down from a 12-week cycle to market to 4 weeks or less, because you're enabling the designer like an Angela Johnson and thousands of other people like her who have chosen this vocation here in Arizona to not want to leave and have to go to Los Angeles, to New York, overseas, what have you, to give them the opportunity to actually get into market as inexpensively as you can turn a store up online and do it faster. So you can see whether or not you're at the front end of a trend or the tail end of a trend before you lose a lot of money figuring out which end of the spectrum that you land on. I think one of the points of pride that I'm excited about the organization is it's wonderful, right, that we've helped advance the businesses of these 300 plus designers and brands in 2 years. I mean, it's completely unheard of. You couldn't go to a 500 startups on the technology sector, which is where I've spent 2 decades of my career, and get 300 brands pushed through an incubator in 2 years' time. I used to work for one of the leading incubator and commercialization groups here in Arizona, Tallwave. And we were lucky if we got dozens through the queue. So to get 300 through is one impressive thing. But when you think about what that means in terms of economic impact, it's over $1 million cash worth of services that those 300 brands didn't have to spend their money on. They were able to benefit from the collective sort of expertise and sort of intellectual capacity as well as physical capacity of the organization itself. 1,600 plus hours of education to help them understand what they need to do to become a fast brand, a fast fashion brand into market. And clearly, I think the city of Tempe recognizing that this is something that there's a kernel of something here that can grow to become something bigger. I think past the three of us sitting at this table and dozens of people who will come after us, the legacy of Angela Johnson and of Sherry Berry will be a vibrant manufacturing platform that helps fashion designers get to market and then stay in the markets that they've launched from, as opposed to exporting themselves elsewhere. And the economic impact of that, I think, will be untold, hundreds of millions of dollars 10, 15, 20, 30 years from now, which I think is a really fun and important thing to think about, which right now, none of us can think about, right? Because we have to do the work, but there will be a time.
Although I'd love to chime in about that, because those 310 brands, there's a lot of them who are actually growing out of our facility. They have been there manufacturing over and over. Their, you know, brands are growing, their collections are growing, and we're here supplying no minimum manufacturing. And so we do small batches, and we never want to be overtaken by one brand and just make their stuff all day. So Sherry's business, Arizona Fashion Source, is supplying this manufacturing to get these people going. But now we have a bigger problem, because what about those people who are growing out of our facility? So we really want to now also solve the next big problem. How do we change the old ship, the big ship that can't turn, of the way manufacturing has been being done overseas in this old school way that's been the same for 150 years? What do we do to make it more sustainable and responsible? How do we reshore manufacturing to the United States and make it so that we're manufacturing for big quantities for lots of brands doing lots of different things instead of one brand doing one thing? And that's the real big difference. So right now, we're faced with that problem. I mean, every day we're helping the small brand get going, but this is a next step for us. This is our vision. How do we fix this?
So what's amazing about this challenge, and I have the capacity problem. I have designers who want to manufacture more than we're willing to do, only because our mission is to always be able to have space for new designers coming through our doors. We don't want to say no to anybody who's trying to launch a fashion business. So we've been really adamant about sticking with the no minimum small batch manufacturing so we can do that. But I have a huge capacity issue right now. And so like any business owner, you're like, how do I solve this? It would be very easy for me to buy a whole bunch of sewing machines and put them in a warehouse and have more capacity, but I know I'm creating a dinosaur. It just feels like a dinosaur, and it really doesn't help our designers because we can't efficiently compete and manufacture like the mass producers overseas at any sort of a competitive cost structure. So the only way we're really going to be able to help those designers is to create something that is more efficient, and it is a completely different platform. Instead of making tens of thousands of pieces for one brand, it's figuring out how to make hundreds for 1,000 brands and do that using stuff that is available today. There is technology in Industry 4.0 and even what they call Industry 5.0, which is perfect for the fashion industry because it takes artificial intelligence and automated machinery and cloud-based applications and marries them with the ability to then personalize stuff for customers, which is perfect for emerging brands. Then you're not overproducing this dead stock material. And we think if we can automate this factory and stitch together all this technology, we can really make something that will allow our small designers to be competitive. It'll be responsibly made. It'll be more sustainable. And so we're really excited about that. And the amazing thing has been is the city has introduced us to people because they know this vision. The resources to do this are right here.
I was curious, resource, not only financial, but also location in addition to the technology. You feel like we've got it. We have it all here. It's just a matter of, as you said so beautifully, kind of threading it all, bringing it all together.
Well, I think that's one of the things that makes Arizona interesting is if you think of one of the economic pillars of the state of Arizona is a clarity and a point of view around advanced manufacturing, whether advanced manufacturing is for semiconductors and nanotechnology or solar technology or biotechnology. It is a methodology. It's a platform that simply infuses efficiency into small, medium, or mass production of whatever the thing is that mm-hmm. you put into the system. So we already have a clear point of view as an economy around how we win in advanced manufacturing in other industries. It's simply a matter now of applying them. Atlanta as a market has been trying to figure out this sort of advanced manufacturing platform for fashion and for retail. And a company there has created what has been lovingly branded among us as SoBots, robots that actually do the sewing for you en masse. I think we have the ability to take a step beyond that. I also think we have a remarkable sort of built-in, what I would describe as craftsman labor force, right? The U.S. Hispanic market here is so strong in terms of, and even Native American marketplaces to that extent, they're so strong at handcrafting, at doing that sort of trim and finish work that's really authentic. It gives you a really beautiful piece that delivers that made in the USA capacity while continuing to drive employment and wages and value in those audience segments or in those workforce segments or labor segments of our market. We could take the efficiency that mass production of a product could come through using SoBot technology and then deliver that into the hands of these craftspeople and allow them to earn a higher living wage while they're building really well-crafted products that sell at a fair price in the United States and that garner a premium price everywhere else in the world, because made in the USA still matters everywhere around the world in terms of the quality you expect and the value. We think Fabric and the Arizona Apparel Foundation have a really unique position and role to play in helping advance that as well.
How many years off are we from this idea? I mean, is it a matter of raising even more capital now? And I mean, what's next in this whole thing? That gets me very excited, especially when you speak to how many problems it solves for so many people. But what can we do? This is Business Radio X. We obviously appeal to the business owners and the C-level executives. Who do you need to come alongside you, and what does that look like?
What a great question. It's a question we ask ourselves all the time. I think that it's complicated because what we're trying to do is first ever. To Tom's point about the uniqueness of having Arizona Apparel Foundation and Fabric, is it really is already a very unique business entity. I call it a public social enterprise. Public because we have the support of the city of Tempe. Social because there's a huge design community and support around this that Angela's built over the last 20 years. Arizona Apparel Foundation has over 450 active volunteers that have put in over 20,000 service hours to help support what we're doing. And then the enterprise piece of it is Angela and my two companies that really support the machinery and infrastructure and knowledge around this. And then the foundation, which really provides designers what we call the do-it-yourself opportunity, where we can teach them how to launch their brands and provide them free and low-cost resources to do that. So it really is a unique enterprise. I think that allows us to obtain funds through the foundation, through grants. There is a lot of support right now to fund reshoring projects and advanced manufacturing projects in tech. I don't think most people think of the apparel industry as being a tech business. We're 100% thinking that way.
Yeah, the way you've all just described it makes perfect sense. Without losing the human touch, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Because technology solves the problem of these wonderful designers to be able to bring back artisanal materials and craft and original design, which is kind of missing in the fashion industry a lot right now. And so we really see as technology as being able to solve our problem, but we think there's grant opportunities. And then, of course, Angela and I on the enterprise side, as soon as we are developing a really feasible model for how to do this, that we've gotten a lot of really smart support with. I'm not a software engineer. I'm not a mechanical engineer, but we've met some people who know all about this stuff. Again, resources in Arizona, they amaze us every time that we go visit them. And so we've gotten a lot of help to fully develop this. And everybody who's talked to us has supported the fact that this is a great idea that fills a really big need and they're willing to help support us. But we will need to raise funds for that. So we will be looking for investors to help support us in the idea to bring that forward. And we really think the foundation advocating towards building a sustainable fashion industry here in Arizona and the businesses that are based in fabric, you know, wanting to develop this out of need, a capacity need, that we should be able to fund it.
And, you know, that's a big picture. There's even an immediate need for the foundation. We're always seeking partners for the foundation, corporate sponsors, donors, people that can support what we're already doing and try to help us take it to the next level and keep doing it in an even better way. I mean, like we said, we've helped about 300 brands, but a lot of the work that's gone into that is a lot of gumption, a lot of time, a lot of our own dime and everything. And who, what big corporation wouldn't want to be partnered with something that is a disruptor, that is something that's related to fashion? And there are so many opportunities to get involved and be able to, you know, align yourself with our foundation.
Right now.
Yeah, yes. Right now.
So Tom, speak to us a little bit about the impact the foundation has already had. I know we've covered a little bit about it, but to tag off of what Angela's sharing.
Well, you know, there's a couple of things that I think are really important for the business audience listening to this, for those C-level executives. I've been one of those for a long time. I've served two sitting governors on innovation technology councils, on different senatorial, you know, sort of committees for the development and emergence of the bio industry here and the high tech industry here. And what I see when I look back the two decades ago, I started in those capacities serving. I see this industry as very much one where we've made a decision as an economy to say we can take a stake in this as the state of Arizona. We can wrap our arms around pulling those dollars from the federal government. We have an administration in office, for better or worse, that is very committed to ensuring that Made in America and U.S.-based manufacturing opportunities, projects, and programs are funded. That I don't think we have a clear pipeline to, if I'm completely honest. And if there's anyone listening to this broadcast who does have a clear path to those dollars, a clear path to those resources, I'd like for them to get in touch with us because I think it's important for us to understand how to leverage our relationships we may not even know that we have that create opportunity and hallways there. But when I think about the $1 million worth of services, the 20,000 hours of volunteerism that has gone into this, the hundreds of thousands of dollars self-funded by Angela and Sherry over these 2 years, not supported through grants and foundations, but from their own pocketbooks. These are the little engines that could, that we need to attach the train to with the resources behind in order to take $1 million and turn it into $5 million worth of services, 20,000 volunteer hours into 100,000 volunteer hours, 1,600 hours worth of education and quadruple it. I think what's important here is if we had to put a stake in the ground, you know, you can start as small as $5,000 as a corporation, and $5,000 goes a long, long way for what is happening here and what Fabric is doing. But I'd rather not try to stitch together, no pun intended, 25 companies at $5,000 a piece. I'd rather see us get two or three partners who understand what, to Angela's point, disruption opportunity this is, who understand the labor and workforce development impact there is here. We've been talking about brain drain in the state of Arizona against science, technology, engineering, and math. Imagine taking a community of skilled laborers and teaching them how to use technology doing the crafts work that they do. And what does that translate to? Do 10% of them graduate up into more advanced technology workforce opportunities that the Intels and others want to hire? The answer is yes. It's 100% proven that's how it happens. But if you start them where they live, doing what they love, they'll grow into those other things. And I think we have a sort of a dual purpose track here. I'd love to see somebody come into this organization and say, we got $250,000 for you. What can you do with it? That's millions of dollars worth of value back to the community. That's 1,000 designers and brands getting the support that they need. And the impact then back to the economy here in the state of Arizona, not just the city of Tempe, grows by feature functions and by step functions thereafter.
Can you imagine what we could do with some money and what we've done so far without money? I mean, right now, we just started offering a membership to Fabric so that we could get a little bit of support before we find our golden partner. So we actually have a corporate membership that we're offering for $5,000 that's discounted down after January 1st is going to be $8,000. And we have an industry professional membership that's $300 discounted down from $500. And we have a Friends of Fabric membership that's $150 discounted down from $200. And what you get for that is unbelievable. There's about $5,000 worth of programs and services that you get as an industry pro for $300. And that, I mean, we have so much to offer people. Like I said, we have free sourcing. We have discounted offices. People can come in and they can use the space, the co-working spaces. They can attend events. They can network. They can, there's photo studios there. And as a member of Fabric, you get a chance to use those without further cost because you're a member. So there is so much that people can take advantage of that will give them access to all the things they need to be successful and to support what we're doing. So if there's people out there that maybe aren't going to be the big corporate sponsor that just want to help in some way, become a member of Fabric.
I love it. And back to Tom's point, the give is not huge. I mean, whether it's $5,000, $8,000, but it's also $250,000, that's so doable with some of these major corporations that we have and the giving hearts that we have in Arizona. It's fascinating. We have one of the shows that comes out of Phoenix Business Radio is called Arizona Brandcast. And one of the reasons why we have that show is because, and you, I think you're kind of alluding to this, Arizona just doesn't have quite an identity yet as it relates to business. Some will say it's tech, some will say it's startup. We at Conscious Capitalism Arizona, which is where we're housed out of here at the Max 6 studio, we're looking to find something that's more inclusive than that, that really Arizona represents. And this idea of advanced manufacturing, as you're saying, I'm like, wow, that to me is this idea around conscious capitalism, right? And advocating as a force for good, we can make a difference. We can eradicate abject poverty by the year 2040. Like that's our goal as a conscious capitalist organization. And we can do that through this broader idea and acknowledgement around who we are as a state of Arizona. This isn't, like as you said, it's not just a Tempe thing. This is really who are we as a state and how can really the whole country kind of rally around what you're creating as this is just one incubator, one piece of a bigger opportunity to make a huge difference.
I think you key in on something, Karen, that I've been, I think, advocating for almost a decade. And that is, you know, when we think about the way that Arizona, or at least the greater Phoenix metropolitan area has been described, Silicon Desert, doesn't feel right, never has felt right, never have liked it. I've said that and argued it in city council meetings all the way up to the governor's office. This idea of trying to be the next Silicon Valley, like, okay, let's forget all of that. At the end of the day, the number one ingredient that we're known for in this state comes back to the people. It doesn't necessarily come back to innovation specifically one way or another. We're Entrepreneur Valley at the end of the day. People move here from all over the country to start. People who are here start up companies and grow them regardless of the industry, regardless of the economic sector that they sit in, because it takes a kind of grit. You know, Intel was an entrepreneurial business a long time ago, right? The big tech companies in aerospace and defense and all of that, entrepreneurs a long time ago. Lots of supply chain businesses have grown up around those businesses, of course. But who we are as a state, I truly believe, the reason I moved here 25 years ago was because I felt I could come here. This was my Ellis Island. This was my generation's Ellis Island, an opportunity to come where it wasn't hard or too difficult to go create the life that I wanted for my family or the business profile that I wanted for myself or what have you. And I feel like we're at this really interesting inflection point where this is this advanced manufacturing applied to an industry that needs this kind of disruption, like telephony needed with the advent of the cell phone, like communications have needed with the Internet of Things. I feel very strongly that Arizona has a unique opportunity that I hope your listeners are paying attention to.
This is not advocating for a pet rock project. This is advocating for a sea change in an industry that has yet to disrupt itself. The disruption that's come into the fashion apparel industry in the world is low-cost manufacturing in China. Well, with tariffs and everything else that are starting to impact businesses here in the U.S., a lot of my friends are running e-commerce businesses and retail businesses that are suffering because of the economic impact of what's happened to those manufacturers supplying product into the U.S. I feel like we have the opportunity to sort of take that back, and Arizona has the opportunity to lead that change. And I think those are key messages. I agree with Angela. Look, if getting started is an intimidating thing, everybody's got $5,000. Anybody in a corporate setting has $5,000. That's probably easy to figure out. If you're willing to pay $5 to $10 million for naming rights on a building, yes, as a major company here, from a vanity perspective, you've got $250,000 to $500,000 to go create hundreds of jobs, launch thousands of brands, and actually see that macroeconomic impact.
Just want to add to the not a pet rock project, which I kind of love the analogy, because I think a lot of people think, oh, you know, it's just a fashion incubator. They're just helping a couple designers who are dreamers. I mean, the global fashion industry is a $4 trillion industry. The fashion industry in the United States is a $400 billion industry. And where it's going is to small emerging designers who can become Instagram famous, who just need resources to be able to get their product to market. And so this is the trend. Nobody is really servicing those emerging designers that have the ability to go to direct to consumer. It's a big need.
And it's growing. You see it in the restaurant industry with the farm to table, and that's exactly what's happening in fashion. But there's no resources, like she said. So, I mean, that's a need that needs to be filled right now, and that's what we're trying to do.
Think about it, Karen. It's easier for you to go into your closet right now and pull 10 things you haven't worn in the last year, put them on Poshmark, and sell them for as much sometimes or more than what you paid for them than it is for a designer to actually launch something new that you can put into your closet for cheaper than what you paid for the thing you're now trying to resell in a vintage store online, right? There's something wrong with that.
Yeah.
And the bottom line is it's a resource issue. So, you know, our goal today is to make sure that more people hear about the resource need and come support it.
And also just the environmental and human toll that it takes on manufacturing something overseas where there aren't the same regulations and minimum wage. I encourage everybody to watch a movie called True Cost. You could just Google it and find it. And that'll give you an insider view on what happens, what has to happen, what toll it has to take to make a $20 shirt. It really isn't sustainable. And it's something that's actually ruining the world. I mean, fashion is the second most polluting industry on our planet next to the oil industry.
I was hoping you were to speak to that. I was going to ask if you weren't, because I don't know a lot about it, but I've seen in the news and I've read some articles around the negative impact that the fashion industry has had as it relates to pollutants. And,
yep, and it's because the drive, the consumer drive, is we all expect to buy a $20 shirt. I mean, you'll spend more on your lunch. And so it's really unbelievable that that even exists. And I think there needs to be more education in the consumers to really understand why it would be important to support local and to buy small emerging brands clothing. But how are those brands going to make their product for you? So that's really a big problem that we have. And, you know, when I'm going to buy a $20 hamburger, it's because I care about the cow. I know that it lives here and it was wandering around a gorgeous field. Well, why don't I care about the person that is in a working condition that is horrific? You know, there's just this crazy dichotomy that is not working. So we actually need to solve that problem as a human race.
Agreed. Yeah.
So I heard on the news 3 or 4 weeks ago that one of the big fast fashion companies burned $4 billion worth of clothes because they couldn't get rid of them. And, you know, you ask yourself, why? You think it can go to third world countries and stuff, but I guess the quality of the garments and the fact that they're made out of polyester and they're not going to hold up well and all kinds of other reasons forced this company to burn that many clothes. That's just crazy.
Well, the third world countries have way too many clothes anyways. Everybody, it's disposable. Clothing is disposable now. People think of their clothing as disposable. So they just donate it to Goodwill or, you know, get rid of it somehow. It ends up in a third world country. And they have piles and piles and piles of landfills filled with clothing at this point.
And that's why this sort of, this small batch platform with advanced manufacturing technology for all of you tech listeners, powering the platform is important because again, you're infusing efficiency and you're extracting waste. We're not producing 4X garments that wind up in a landfill, wind up being burned and polluting the environment, wind up at the bottom of the ocean where, you know, baby dolphins have choked on it or what have you. I mean, and these are all very real scenarios. What we're advocating for in this sort of sustainable, you know, sort of clean to the environment or clearer, more supportive of the environment approach is let's take that waste out. Let's manufacture just what's needed as it's needed for the capacity in the market that's willing to take it, as opposed to dead inventory, dead stock that somebody spends time and energy and then writes a $4 billion takedown off of their books for later.
And you can actually learn more about all of this because we started Arizona Eco Fashion Week last year. So we're going to do it again this year. And it's focused on education. We have a lot of panel discussions and experts that come and they share this kind of information. Stuff that I even learned that I had no idea about. It's a great way to educate yourself on exactly what is the problem and what are now the current solutions and stuff that you might not have even thought about. It'll be the 23rd of April. That's when it's going to happen. And we're actually actively looking for sponsors for that event as well. So I'm thinking solar companies and people who care about the environment would be perfect for this. And then hopefully all of the listeners would want to attend and learn about all of this.
It's a great, great plug for an opportunity to get involved and be educated. Don't wait till April.
Right.
Get involved now, but great to know that that's coming up.
One cool thing about it, too, is that we have a fashion show called Refabricate, and it's basically enables Arizona Fashion Source to be a zero-waste factory is what it does. We take the leftover scraps from the cutting room floor of Arizona Fashion Source. So all of the fabric from all of the local designers that is not usable, and we give it to participating local designers. They turn it into really cool, unique, patchworky, one-of-a-kind garments, and they put it on the runway at Arizona Eco Fashion Week. And then you can buy it straight off the runway. We're about to add a shopping cart to fabrictempe.com where you can actually purchase it all year round as well.
Brilliant. Were you going to add something else as well, Sherry?
I did just also want to add that the wonderful building that we have that is owned by the City of Tempe Fabric is also an events venue. It's got state-of-the-art integrated equipment specifically for fashion shows and other events. And it's actually the event space in the building that really helps sustain our business model because the events pay the bills. And it's a wonderful artsy industrial space. I mean, think about how cool an old theater space is to host an event in. And anybody who is looking to host an event, we have really affordable rates, can find information about the event space at events@fabric.com.
And that can be outside of the fashion industry. I mean, it's just come and rent this cool vintage space and support what y'all are doing.
Yeah, we've had all kinds of events there. We had a wedding last weekend. We've had corporate events.
Proms, sorority functions.
Good. That's really good to know.
Fundraising dinners, sort of small, intimate environment type things. I also think for the listeners, those who were, you know, interested in that sort of $150 to $5,000 support and sponsorship opportunity to sort of get involved and get involved in a way that, you know, may help you see what, you know, allow us to prove to you the value of your dollar, visit fabrictempe.com/memberships for a little more information about those as well.
And as far as social media goes, where can people just stay in tune with everything that's happening?
So I know this is kind of a confusing model because we have the building, Fabric, and then we have our nonprofit, Arizona Apparel Foundation, and then we have the two for-profits, Label Horde and Arizona Fashion Source. So they're all partnering together. So we actually have websites and social media for all of them.
Sure.
But fabrictempe.com is sort of the main landing page to find all of those things. At fabrictempe is what we are on Facebook and Instagram. And then from there, you can go and you can also find at Label Horde, at AZ Fashion Source, and at AZ Apparel Foundation. And we all have our own websites, like I said, that can be found on fabrictempe.
It's a lot, but it's very, I understand it, I think, very completely just based on the way each of you have shared. It's a fantastic story. It's just begun, clearly. 2 years, I'm still fascinated. And to your comrades' points here, that you've been at this for almost 20 years, building this ecosystem, this common, you know, bond between our designers here in Arizona. But wow, what you've done in 2 years with fabric.
Can I throw in one more thing?
Please.
On that note. So over that almost 20 years, there are a couple thousand people in our fashion directory at labelhorde.com, H-O-R-D-E. And it's the entire fashion industry in a free directory so that everybody can find each other and people can find fashion businesses. And every year we come together and we put a giant fashion show together that features about 60 to 65 fashion designers that are local, and each one gets their own model and hair and makeup. And it's this really cool event that just kind of shows Arizona that here we are. And these are all the different people that, you know, run their business out of Arizona. And it's December 1st. It takes place during the Tempe Festival of the Arts 50th anniversary on the deck of Tempe City Hall at 2 p.m. You can find Perfect. All of the information for that event at labelhorde.com. And then we also are going to celebrate this 2 years that we've been in the building. On November 3rd, we're going to have two Project Runway designers from the TV show come to Fabric and put their collections on the runway. So none of the local designers actually have to do that. They can all take a break and watch a fashion show for once. So we're actually going to come together and celebrate. And that's also going to act as our annual fundraiser. You can get a seat in a VIP section where you get to meet the designers for $120. And then the tickets start as low as $25. And that's going to go to supporting, you know, what we do.
Yeah, that was a very important last little tidbit. Thank you for sharing that. So, coming up very soon. So, Sherry's got another one.
I just also wanted to mention that Fabric is a community resource. It's not just for fashion designers. And the building is open to the public. We consider ourselves Arizona's fashion headquarters, but we're the Switzerland of the fashion industry. We really want everybody to participate. If you're interested in taking a tour of the building, you can go to fabrictempe.com. There is a button to book a tour. We do them 3 times a week, Mondays at 4 p.m., Wednesdays at 3, and Fridays at 10 a.m.
I'm so glad you mentioned that. I was going to ask before we closed out this segment. So open to the public, schedule a tour. And when I think fashion, well, based on our conversation and apparel, I'm thinking clothing. You mentioned that there's some space for folks to have memberships at Fabric. Jewelry. I mean, yes. So it's the whole extension, right? I mean, yes. It's really any creative
marketing, everything that would be related to the industry, hair, makeup, modeling.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Also very important to share as well. This has been a fascinating conversation. You and I knew that we had to have an extended conversation after your first visit, and I'm thrilled that it got to be today. And Tom and Sherry, thank you so much for joining us and sharing the full picture about where you are right now, but also where you're headed, not only on behalf of Arizona, but really our fashion industry at large. I definitely can sense where you're headed with this. And it sounds like this ship does need to have an incredible pivot. And I'm looking forward to congratulating you when you're at the forefront of that. And clearly you already are. One more time for the Arizona Apparel Foundation. Did I say that correctly?
Yes.
I did.
The website?
Please.
azapparelfoundation.org.
And then kind of the hub where both for-profit companies come together, that would be Fabric Tempe?
Yes, we each have our own websites. Fabric Tempe, though, is the hub where you can find all of them. And then labelhorde.com and azfashionsource.com.
Perfect.
And events at fabric.com.
Yes, I think that's probably a great place to start to get acquainted. And then obviously the members as well. You've been listening to Phoenix Business Radio with Business Radio X, broadcasting live from within the Max 6 and Conscious Capitalism Arizona studio. Some media leans left, some lean right, and we lean business. Until next time, I'm Karen Nowicki.